All right. Well, friends, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. It is great to have all of you here joining with us here in worship here at Aldersgate. If you're watching online, thank you so much for tuning in and being with us here today. I know Pastor Mike mentioned, but we really want to give a special shout out and invite and welcome to our friends in Rapid City. Thank you so much for coming together here, and we are praying for all of you as you guys can launch a church and do all that. We're excited to partner with you and how we can come alongside you in all of this. So with that being said, we want to get into God's Word here this morning. As you see here, we're on a new sermon series, a summer sermon series throughout the rest of the summer called Summer Baggage, and we're going to be kind of looking in a way at the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit are found in Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so as we go through this, and why we call it summer baggage is because when we really take a moment to really step back and think about what's going on in our lives, we carry a lot of baggage, don't we? We carry a lot of burdens. And when we carry all that stuff, what we find out is usually all that baggage, all of those burdens are usually a type of what we're dealing with in the spirit of the flesh, right? And Jesus comes along, we get the fruits of the Spirit, and what we really should be is love, joy, and peace, and forbearance. And so we're going to be kind of looking at the contrast. Like today, we're going to be looking at the root of bitterness and anger and resentment, and how when we hold on to that and we harbor that, how it robs from us the love and the peace and the joy that God wants to give to us. So we're looking at all of this. And again, so the fruits of the Spirit is kind of like the umbrella of all of this. And if you remember right, Jesus spoke about true prophets and he spoke about false prophets. And he told us that you will know them, remember what he said? Not by their power or what they said, but you will know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. And today, the first one that we're going to look at is love. Love is preeminent to all of this. Dwight L. Moody said it like this. He said, a person can be a good doctor without loving his or her patients. A lawyer can be a good lawyer without loving his or her clients. You can be a good geologist without loving rocks or silence, but you cannot, he says, you cannot be a good Christian without love. You have to have it. So love is preeminent. By this, all people will know that we are Jesus' disciples by the love that we have for one another. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, he said that how we will know we have passed from death into life because we love one another. And he talks so much in that book about God being love, and he circles through that a few times. But in this sermon series, today and moving onward for the rest of the summer, we're going to look at the baggage that we carry. And again, how it robs us of the joy and the love and the life that Christ Jesus wants for us. And Jesus comes along and tells us how to live life to the fullest and what that all means. He wants his best for us. And that's what Paul is really going to be talking about here, about living life in the Spirit. So today, though, to do this, I'm actually going to ask you to do a very difficult thing. I'm going to ask you to take a moment, and the result of what we cover here today may actually stir up some great emotions of anger, of pain, and sadness for some of you. It may take you back to a very painful time in your life. Today, it might take you to a place where you might have to think of a person in your life that who has hurt you the most. Maybe for some of you, that person is someone who has treated you unfairly, someone maybe at work or at school. Maybe it's a neighbor that you just cannot stand. And yet for many, maybe there's a person who was very abusive to you, whether it's emotionally or physically. And yet for others, it might be a person who has hurt you by just walking out on you. Maybe it was a mother or a father who left your family. Maybe it was someone, a spouse, that you committed your life to, and you never thought that you would be betrayed, and betrayal happened. And so there's a lot of brokenness that's there. Maybe it's someone who's lied to you, stole from you, or who is deliberately gossiping about you in such a way that it feels like they're deliberately trying to destroy your life. And you have harbored this anger and this resentment towards those individuals. And for some of you, you've just put it aside, not to want to bring it back again, but today I come here to ask you to go to that moment. The reality is that all of us here today have people in our lives who have wronged us, who have done evil to us. And if we're really honest with ourselves too as well, not only have we have had evil done to us, but there's probably been some of us here today that have done evil to other people. Maybe it was unwillingly, or maybe it was purposefully, and you did it with purpose and malintent. Whatever the case, evil exists and wrongs happen. And we have to figure out in the midst of this, as followers of Christ, what it means to operate in such a world that is filled with anger, that is filled with divisiveness around every corner. And it can be very challenging. It can be very, very difficult to do. And perhaps that's why it's so frustrating when evil or stuff has been done to us, because not only are we angry and bitter, but what happens too is we become very frustrated because we're not quite sure how to respond to the evil that it is aimed at us. And so we usually respond to evil in three ways. You know what we do? One, we bury it. We do the whole sweeping under the rug, and we just try not to let it come out. And we bury it, and eventually when other things have happened, we bury that too, and eventually it comes to the surface and explodes. It's not healthy to do it that way. So one thing we do is we bury it. We bury our wounds, and we really never fully deal with the damage that has been done. The second thing is that we do is that we harbor or we live with such a deep-rooted bitterness and resentment toward the one who has hurt us. And unfortunately, when we have resentment towards someone who has hurt us, it sometimes comes out towards people that actually love us. We take it out on them when we hold on to that. And the third thing that we do, and it's probably connected with our bitterness, and sometimes we seek out revenge. We long for or hope that somehow some evil will happen back towards the person who has harmed us. And so it can be a very dangerous thing. And Jesus comes along, and I can assure you, neither of these three responses match up with the will of God. None of it. And so as disciples of Christ, how are we actually supposed to operate and live in this broken world? And how are we to respond to those who have hurt us? How are we to react? Well, in our scripture here today, I want to share with you from Romans chapter 12. And as you're opening it up to Romans chapter 12 here this morning, when we read this, there are going to be instructions, commandments, you could say, of how we're to respond to those who have caused us harm and caused us pain. And to be honest with you, it's really hard to read. Because maybe it's not hard to read. I say it's hard to read because when we read it, we have that conviction that we have to apply it. And when we read this, we don't really want to apply it. Let's just be honest with ourselves, because it's very difficult to do. It's very hard to do. But if there's one thing that I know that is more powerful than any kind of evil in this world, it is the goodness of God. And it's remarkable to see how the goodness of God will be able to break through the darkness of this world, and he chooses to do it through us, broken people. And some of the most magnificent things I've ever seen, most powerful things I've ever seen, is when I've seen people who have been wronged and them be able to show the love of God to those that have wronged them. It is remarkable. It changes the world. It changes the mindset. So we're going to read beginning at verse 9, I believe, here. It's going to say this. These are words we love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, right? Lift other people up. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, your passion, serving the Lord faithfully. But be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In that opening part there, you begin to see the fruits of the Spirit that is mentioned in Galatians 5 coming through the Scriptures. Verse 14, this is when it gets really hard. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear brothers, or my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. I feel like I just need to do a sermon on that. And then it says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word and how it continues to just teach and to edify us, Lord God. And I pray, Father, as we just read this here today, that we know, Lord, these are areas in Scripture where it can be challenging, where we welcome it, but we really don't fully welcome it because we don't really want to apply it. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll soften our hearts here this morning and to just speak to us in ways, Lord, to help us to move forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, to be honest with you, when I read this, when you read it, it might not make sense to us right away because we really struggle with this. I mean, why in the world should we actually bless somebody who's actually harmed us? Like, why would we want to do that? Why would we want to pray for those who have treated us so wrong, whose intentions are to cause us pain, or even have slandered us and are really intent on trying to destroy us and our reputation, whoever we might be? I mean, how in the world does this command that we read here that Paul says to bless, how do we bless those who have persecuted us, Derek? What is God actually telling us here? Well, I want to share some words from a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, that were written many years ago. And these words, when I read them for the first time, stopped me in my track. You might be familiar with them because they're from the greatest sermon ever preached. They're from the Sermon on the Mount. They're from Jesus himself. And it's found in Matthew 5. He says this, that you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over to them your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And then he took it to another level. And then he said this, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing this? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, that turning the other cheek, that being sued and giving more, that walking the extra mile, all of these are radical thoughts. Radical thoughts. And honestly, if we are honest with ourselves here today, we don't want to do any of them. Any of them. And throughout the Gospels, whenever Jesus is teaching, especially in the Sermon on the Mount right here, right? This is where this is located. Everything he teaches is always in opposition to the values of the world. I mean, really, if you think about it, do you think for one moment that our world would tell you that if someone sues you, that you should actually give them more than what you're being sued for? Right? I mean, that probably is the one that relates to us the most here. But in the other examples about the slapping on the cheek and the walk in the other mile, did you know the saying, go the extra mile, is derived from Jesus' teaching here? It's this idea of found that is found in Matthew 5. Now, to give you a little context about this, it was Roman law. It was called the Lex Angria. And the Lex Angria stated this, it allowed a soldier to compel a civilian to carry his pack 1,520 paces. It was known as the Roman mile. And so if I'm walking to Jerusalem, and the Roman soldier on this road is walking the other direction, and he says, hey, Derek, excuse me, he probably didn't know my name, but you get the point. Hey, you need to stop what you're doing, and you need to take my pack. I'm tired, and you need to carry it for me for 1 mile. So whatever I'm doing, if I'm carrying something too, I have to drop whatever I'm carrying, or I can take it with me, but I'm taking his pack, and I have to walk back, and it's a disservice to me to walk back another mile, 1,520 paces. And when I get to that, the Roman law says that the Roman soldier cannot make me go any further. After I've walked 1 mile, the Roman soldier says, okay, you can drop the pack. You fulfilled your duty, and you can go back to your day. So Jesus comes along and says, hey, if that happens, and you get interrupted in your walk, and you walk back, and you fulfill your duty, don't stop. Go another mile. Because now the Roman soldier, when he sees that, says, hey, listen, you don't need to do that. And now it's not, I have to do it. Now it's okay. I want to. And the moment that you do that, you change the mindset of the one who's telling you to do it. That's what happens every single time. You change the mindset. And so Jesus comes along and he says, go the extra mile. And when we read this, because we don't really like this, because we don't want to go the extra mile. We don't want to turn the other cheek. We don't want to give them more than what we're being sued for. No, what we want to do is we want to retaliate. We love the opening part of this, right? You know, like it's tooth for tooth, eye for an eye. We love, like that's something that we like. But did you know that that eye for an eye, that tooth for tooth, that's actually taken out of context? That's actually been, it's been completely misinterpreted. It's a misinterpretation of the Old Testament law. It's called the Lex Talionis. And that law was put in place to protect human nature. Because we think eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. What's done to me needs to be done to you. But that's not human nature. Human nature has always been that we will retaliate more than what has been done to us. So someone comes up and shoves me. Human nature is that we want to punch them back. And it's not just one punch, it's multiple punches. Human nature is always wanting to retaliate more. So that law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth was put into place to protect human nature from not doing that. And so you knock out my tooth, I'm knocking out all of yours. You take out my eye, I'm taking both of your eyes. Our human nature wants to retaliate more than what was done to us. And if we're honest with ourselves, we might look at this and we think, you know what, that's how we want to respond. And to be quite frankly honest, that's what our world has taught us to do, is to retaliate and to hate others. And now we see this and we think, why in the world would we ever want to love our enemies and pray for those that persecute us? I mean, are you crazy? That's nuts. And this is challenging for us, and we see this in our social and our political logic says that when someone is oppressed by force, when someone is, their freedom is limited or infringed upon, and to protect that, what we would do is we would show some form of force, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional. And our logic tells us to fight back, to fight against the oppressor. However, Jesus' approach is completely different. And when you actually look at it, I mean, look at it. Jesus isn't talking to the oppressor here. He's talking to the victim. He's talking to the victim. He basically is saying that even though the evil and injustice was carried out on you, it's actually, as a follower of Christ, it's actually your responsibility, the victim's responsibility on where the event goes next. That hits home. One could easily respond with hatred and envy or contempt or even use violence, but Jesus is saying that that's not the way of God. It's not what he came to do. Because Jesus knows. He knows that if we respond in those ways, if we respond with hatred, if we respond with revenge, we will be harboring a bitterness and a resentment. And I'm here to tell you, when you do that, that's burdening your soul. And that will rob you from the freedom and the peace and the joy of your salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Some of you here today, it's not just summer baggage. You've been carrying around baggage of bitterness for a long time. And it's weighing on you. It's so heavy on you. And you don't know how to let it go. And you hold on to it, and it's producing a fruit in you that is not of God. Instead of harboring the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, instead what's happening is you're harboring fruits of the flesh. Bitterness, misery, agitation, impatience, rudeness. You're just brutal and even faithless. Your faith in God is diminishing because you're just angry. Jesus is saying to each and to every one of us, come to me. Come to me, all of you. And I will give you rest. All of your baggage, everything that you're carrying, bring it to him and I will give you rest to your tired and to your anguished soul. And some of us, we get to this point. Some of us have no problem getting to this point. We come before Jesus. We give him our baggage. We give him our burdens. And in that moment, we even experience this brevity of peace, because for us, when we confess and we go to Jesus and we say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm angry about. And you pour out your soul to Jesus and you tell him, would you just do something about it? Would you just do something, Jesus? Here it is. I give it to you. I want you to have it. I want the peace, your peace to come to me, your joy to come to me. And you say, Jesus, it's yours. I want you to have it. Now tell me, Jesus, how do I do this? How do I go about and take the next step forward? And do you know what Jesus does in that moment? He picks you up. He looks you in the eyes. And he says this to you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And when you hear that from Jesus, you step back. And for some reason, and somehow, what you end up doing, and I've done this too, you actually reach back down and you grab the burden and you grab the baggage and you pick it back up and you begin to walk with it instead of actually just trusting Jesus. Just trusting Jesus to take that burden away from you. You would much rather think that life is easier carrying the burden and the baggage than it is actually to say to Jesus, okay, I trust you. Because you don't want to truly love your enemy. But Jesus is saying, I want you to be different in the world. I want you to be the sons and the daughters of the Most High. I want you to express the Lord's likeness. For I want you to love those who actually hate you. Loving his enemies, praying for all those who persecute him. The commandment that he's telling us to do, he did it. He did it. When he died on the cross and conquered evil and sin and death, he showed us how to do it. At Calvary, Paul says that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. We were the ones who offended God. We were the ones who sinned against God. We were his enemy. He gave us a perfect world, and we completely messed it up. We put it in the blender, and we hit the melee button. We messed it up so completely, but Jesus went the second mile for a bunch of undeserved, ungrateful, wicked people. And what did he do? He died for their offenses against God. He loved his enemies so much that not only did he pray for those who persecuted them, but he chose to lose so his enemies could win. I want you to think about that. He chose to lose so his enemies. He's a friend of sinners, but we were his enemies. So we could win. A.W. Tozer reminds us of this. He says this, if man had his way, the plan of redemption would be an endless and bloody conflict. And in reality, salvation was bought not by Jesus' fist, but by his nail-pierced hands. Not by muscle, but by love. Not by vengeance, but by forgiveness. Not by force, but by sacrifice. And then he went on to say that Jesus Christ, our Lord, surrendered in order that he might win. He destroyed his enemies by dying for them and conquered death by allowing death to conquer him. And Jesus calls all of us to respond to evil in the same way that he did, by loving your enemies, to pray for them. You want to know what I've discovered too? Man, it's really hard to hate somebody when you begin to pray for them daily. You want to know why that is? Because when you begin to put that person who is just that pain in your life, when you begin to put them on your prayer list and pray for them, the Holy Spirit works through you. And what are the fruits of the Spirit again? It's not bitterness. It's not anger. It's not wrath or vengeance. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, forbearance, self-control, goodness, and kindness. When you pray for that person who has wronged you, you begin to notice that the Holy Spirit begins to transform your heart, and you begin to look more and more like Jesus. Even when you look in the mirror and you think, man, this is a wretched soul, Jesus begins to see the jewel that is in you. Too often we confuse the feeling of forgiving with the action of forgiving someone. And what we end up telling ourselves is that if we forgive someone, we're letting them off the hook, and that thus we believe that justice is not served. And we never get around to doing it, so we either bury it, like we mentioned, bury it, become bitter, or we seek out revenge. I love how Romans 12, 14, did you notice how the start of that verse goes? It says, bless them. It says it twice. Paul says it twice, to bless. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. To bless someone is to... To bless those who persecute you is the overarching theme of this section. To bless someone literally means to wish someone well, to desire God's favor and blessing in their lives. To curse someone is to pray against, to call down doom upon, and to wish for disaster of. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think that sums it all up. If there is something that can overcome evil, it is the goodness of God, and that goodness of God when it is shown through you. That has great power that will knock down any wall of hostility. Because when you are willing to show mercy, to show forgiveness to another individual when you can love your enemies, feeding them when they are hungry, giving them something to drink when they're thirsty, just being kind for them, it's the most powerful act in the world. Loving someone who doesn't deserve to be loved in a way that they don't deserve or expect, that has great power, so much that it will knock down any walls of hostility. That's loving your enemies. That's what Jesus has called us to be. That's what being a disciple of Christ looks like. What kind of fruit are we reflecting in the world? We live in a very divisive world. I mean, we've talked about it here before. It used to be when you had different sides of the political perspective, you actually still liked each other. But now our world is teaching us that you need to hate one another, sowing seeds of bitterness and rage and anger. Are we going to reflect the culture of the world and what it's telling us? Or are we going to just take a moment and just seriously reflect Jesus Christ and the fruit of the Spirit in our life? And it's not easy. I mean, you look at it, again, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, I don't know about you, but how many of those are you doing well? Let me just have some fun with you. You want to have some fun this morning? I thought of this right before this service, so none of the other services got it. If you have your Bibles, they don't have it on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, you go to 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4. It's the love chapter, right? Love is patient, love is kind, all of that, right? I'm going to have some fun with you. I'm going to read this, and I want you to think of yourself and insert your name. I'm going to use my name as an example. because I'm going to get into this just a little bit, and you're going to want to vomit in your mouth. Derek is patient. Derek is kind. Derek does not envy. Derek does not boast. Derek does not dishonor others. Derek isn't self-seeking. You getting the point? When we insert our name, we fail at it miserably. But here's what's amazing about that. When you insert the name of Jesus in that, it's spot on. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy nor boast, is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil, but always rejoices in truth. Jesus protects. He always trusts. He always hopes and always perseveres. When Christ is living out through you, you're bringing 1 Corinthians 13 to life. That's what we're to do, even with our enemies. And oh, by the way, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, as with Romans 12, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit, it's all there. Every single one of them. So friends, I read that stuff, and I've had times people have come up to me, and you know, there's been times, as many of you have your story, things have been wrong to you. I've had people that have wronged me. And it's like, I had a conversation just the other day. It was like, how do you do it? How do you go and move forward after someone who has wronged you? And I said, honestly, tomorrow's a new day. And I, on my own, I can't do it. I hold on to it. But because of the Holy Spirit working through us, only when someone has wronged you and caused you great pain, you cannot forgive that person on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to help you and to show you how to do it. And when you have the Holy Spirit, he shows you. And you begin to understand what a peace is and what that peace comes. And so they've asked me, like, Derek, how do you do it? And I say, like, listen, it's the Holy Spirit. It gives it to me. But you want to know what's interesting about that? This is confession time. I'm about to ruin it. I'm going to build myself up and tear myself down. As a pastor, as a follower of Christ, I mean, I can love those who hate me. It's hard. I can only do it through the Holy Spirit, but I can. And I'm thankful that the Lord has helped to work that out in me. I think, a joyful person. I like to be a person of peace. So when I see the fruits of the Spirit there, I'm like, yeah, I can be that for you. But you want to know something? This is the confession. Because I'm human too, and I struggle as well with all of it. And sometimes, yeah, I might be able to knock it out of the park. But there's a lot of times you want to know who gets the rough end of it. My family. Because even though that I will show those fruits to the world, sometimes they don't see the fruit at home. I mean, patience. I mean, I joke about it sometimes, like, Lord, have mercy. But the truth is, that fuse is short. Because things that I've dealt with in the world, I haven't fully let go. And even I have to do that. Mike and I, we don't have it all figured out. We're broken people, willing to walk this life with all of you and learn together. But man, to know that Jesus still works through us, even in the midst of our shortcomings, I guarantee you, him and I, every morning when we wake up, we realize, God, what did you do? Are you sure about this? Each person that's here today can be used by God. No matter your shortcomings, he wants to use you and work through you. And he wants to show the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit to the world. When you leave here today, you're going to have an opportunity to reflect either the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit. And when we mess up, God comes along and says, let's try again. The world needs to know the grace that I have to offer. And that grace is sufficient for all people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today with humbled and fearful hearts. If there's an area that is most difficult to live out in our Christian lives, it's this part. God, I ask you that you will give us all creative ideas to express some specific acts of kindness and love to those who may not deserve it. I pray, Lord God, that as we come before you today, I pray that we can respond by blessing those who persecute us. And when we respond with that love, may we experience a grace and a freedom like never before. And not only may we experience it, but the ones that we forgive, may they experience it as well. And may bitterness and revenge begin to fade away, because we cannot trust that full justice will occur when we pass the responsibility of vengeance to you, the one true judge who knows all aspects of each situation we are in, and by your very nature, Lord, and character, must be just. So, Lord, teach us. Show the power of your goodness. To you be all the glory. Amen and amen.